We're starting a new series this week. We went through a series of 5 weeks called Flourish, and now we're starting a series, and I've titled this one too. If you're newer to Vertical, sometimes I struggle to title things. That's not really my forte. We all have strengths and weaknesses, but I've titled this series as well to help out my best friend, Austin Watson. So this series title is called Perfect Peace. Perfect Peace. And so I want us to look at John chapter 16, verse 33, which is kind of the premise for this whole series we're going to go through, because I think Jesus says something very interesting, but also applicable to our life. And in case you're newer to Vertical Church, I believe that the Bible absolutely applies to our life today. It's not a history book. It's not suggestions. It applies to our life today. So look at John chapter 16, verse 33. It says, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So if you and I are a little bit honest, I like honesty. I think we should be honest. I think if we acknowledge that there's a tension that exists in this verse, you know, Jesus says, take heart, you know, I've overcome the world. I've come that you may have peace, but in this world, you will have trouble. Can we just admit that there's a tension that exists in this world then of we have trouble, but Jesus says we can have peace? You may be going, I'm dealing with anxiety, but Jesus says I can have peace. I'm dealing with depression, but Jesus says I can have peace. I'm feeling burned out, overwhelmed, exhausted, but Jesus says I can have peace. There's a tension that exists in this verse because I don't see this verse working out the way in my life that Jesus says it was, because he says I'm going to have peace, right? What if the definition of peace that Jesus is talking about is different than our definition of peace? Because when I talk about peace, when I close my eyes and you say, Philip, I want you to think about peace, I think about being at the beach. And at the beach, I've got some music in, you know, because sometimes other people like to be loud at the beach. The beach is not a place for you to be loud, in case you're wondering. I'm writing this down in my memoirs, okay? The beach is not a place for you to be loud, okay? Now, at least not around me. Okay, so I put in a little bit of music, I start reading a book, and I disconnect. And if you're not being loud around me, I check out the music and I just listen to the waves. It's peaceful to me. You know, or if I want some peace, I go outdoors here in Blairsville in North Georgia because it's peaceful outside in these beautiful mountains. It's relaxing to me. I have peace. Or maybe peace is hanging out with some of your best friends or your family or whatever it is. But when I talk about peace, where do you think about going? What do you think about doing? When we talk about peace, a lot of times it's kind of removing some things from our life. Okay, we have less on our plate. We have less asked of us. We disconnect. Maybe you turn off your phone. I don't know what you do, but is that what Jesus is talking about when he says, I've come that you may have peace? And if we're going to get anything out of this series, we have to acknowledge from the get-go, that's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus has not come and said, I've left heaven to come to earth so that you, Philip, can have more time at the beach. He has not come and said, Philip, I've come so that you may have more paid time off to enjoy the North Georgia mountains. I've not come for that. And so that's a letdown if we're honest. Well, that's not what I wanted to hear, Philip. When I heard perfect peace, I wanted more relaxation. So what in the world is Jesus talking about if that's not what he's offering me? And if you translate the original word that Jesus is using here in the text, it actually is translated far closer to wholeness or one with God. So if you read that verse differently, it's not relaxation at the beach. It's not relaxation in the North Georgian mountains. Jesus says, I've come so that you may be whole with God. Jesus said, I've come that you may be one with God. And through that, you will have peace. See, those two definitions are different. It's what we think of when we think of peace, and it's also what Jesus was talking about when he said peace. And so in a time with anxiety going up, depression going up, being burned out, overwhelmed, wanting to maybe take your foot off the gas a little bit in life, Jesus says, I've come so that you may have peace. But see, the first definition, if you want to write down some, take some notes here, Austin or Caroline, somebody, if you want to hit the lights on or somebody in our tech bunker so people can take some notes, that'd be great. Let's take some notes here. The first definition of what peace is not. What peace is not is this. Peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace is not the absence of trouble. Thank you so much, Aaron. May the Lord bless all of your work, okay? And so peace is not the absence of trouble. But in all of my definitions of peace, what did I have? When I was at the beach, there was an absence of trouble unless you're over there causing problems. Can I tell y'all a story? In case you say no, it doesn't really matter because I've got the microphone right now. One time I went down to the beach, and there's people here. And bless your heart if this is your people, because this may be what you need to discover. If you bring a large tent to the beach that takes up far more space than you need, you are part of the problem, okay? I'm just going to be honest here in Vertical Church. I like to speak truth, okay? That's not biblical truth. You won't find that in the Bible. Jesus does not talk about you kinds of people who bring large tents to the beach, but it is in my translation. And so there was a family that sat down next to us at the beach, and they break it out, and it's a large tent. And here's where it's going to get offensive to some of you people. It was a college sports team. And I don't know if you know anything about college football, but you can kind of sum up the kind of people that you're looking at according to the team. I don't know if you've discovered this or not. And so they pull out their massive tent, and lo and behold, it was heartbreaking for me because I know what I'm about to deal with. They're Arkansas Razorback fans. And I know, I just see it. I just see peace. And it's just washing away in the ocean. I'm just looking over that tent, I'm going, I'm going to get no peace this week. There's no such thing as a calm Arkansas Razorback fan because their team's so bad, they're drunk halfway through the game. That's just how it is. They're like, wow, we're down 47-0. I'm going to get wasted, okay? And they take that mentality to the beach, in case you're wondering. And so we're sitting down, and they got a large family, which is not, you know, that's not the sin of the thing. It's being a fan of the Arkansas Razorbacks, but I digress. And so they get down, and I'm just, you know, trying to enjoy my time at the beach. I got my book. And also, I grew up on an island, so I'll teach you a little bit of beach etiquette. You don't feed the animals. If you want to look like a tourist, you feed the animals. Okay, if you want to look like you belong on the beach, don't feed the seagulls. You don't. I'm going to help you. I mean, some of y'all should be taking notes. I'm changing your life right now with this news. And so we're sitting down, and the Arkansas Razorback family, they got like 19 kids, you know, because they need more fans or something because their team's not good enough. And so they got like 19 kids, and all the kids, rather than eating their snacks, are feeding the seagulls. And so now there's like thousands of seagulls pouring down upon us. The poor lady, like a couple seats over from us, literally a bird sends forth from what came down onto her, okay? It's getting bad at this point. And so Philip, and I'm a confronter eventually. Like, I'll take it for a little bit, but eventually I'm going to tell you what I think about you and your Arkansas Razorbacks and where you can put them. And so I walk over to be nice. And I'm like, you know, ma'am, sir, I don't know if you use that language from Arkansas, but I'm going to try to be respectful. Can you guys try not to feed the birds? And they look like I'm speaking Chinese to them. They don't understand this dialect of English, I guess. And so they go, well, the kids enjoy it. And I go, well, that's nice, but the rest of us don't enjoy what the seagulls are sending on to us, okay? It's raining from the air. This was not supposed to be a beach invasion that we're dealing with. And so they kind of look at me, and they just go, no, our kids are going to keep feeding the birds. And I just, again, saw peace drifting through the ocean. And that's where I start looking and go, and this was before I was a pastor, so I had more options available to me on how to handle this situation, if you know what I mean. And I know my brother-in-law can throw down in a fight, and I know they've had a couple drinks, so I like my chances with my coordination at this point, you know? But I don't decide to fight the family from Arkansas. I walk back down, and I just put in my earphones and ignore all of their things and what they're doing. And but the beach is supposed to be relaxation. It's supposed to be there. But some of us differ on what we think relaxation is. And Jesus differs with us many times too. He says that peace is actually wholeness or being one with God. I don't know if we took a survey, if we're just being honest, how many of us would have put that down as answer number one when we asked, what does peace look like? I don't know how many of us would have said being whole with God. But that's what Jesus says. And so that's the biblical definition. But if we're honest with ourselves, if you become whole with God or you become one with Jesus, does that not affect every area of our life? the closer you become to being Jesus and thinking like Jesus and responding to things like Jesus, it changes your identity. Does it not? It changes how you think about yourself. Not only that, it changes how you think about other people. Does it not? The closer you get to Jesus, does it not respond, change how you respond to things? It begins to change us. So look at that. As you become more whole with God, it does change who we are. As we become more whole with God, does that not change our peace? Because here's the thing, to become closer to God, always according to the Bible, you have to submit more of yourself. There's no such thing as becoming more whole with God while retaining all of who you are. John the Baptist said an interesting way. He said, I must decrease and Jesus must increase. That's what we should be looking for in our life. If you want peace according to the Bible, you should pray things like John the Baptist and say things like, I want to decrease and I want Jesus to increase in me. If you want biblical peace the way that Jesus offers it. But see, it affects everything. Like I said, it affects our identity. It affects how we view ourselves. It affects how we view other people. It affects how we respond to things. The more in tune with Jesus that we become. And so I want us to look at three areas of peace. And I think every person in all of humanity falls under one of these three categories when it comes to peace. It's a bold statement that I'm going to back up. And so the first area of peace is you can receive peace. Maybe you're someone right now that we start talking about perfect peace. You're somebody that starts going, I'm dealing with some anxiety. I'm dealing with some depression. I'm dealing with feeling burned out, overwhelmed, overextended. I need peace. Well, the good news is Jesus explained very clearly in John 16:33 that he offers peace. It's just maybe different than the way we thought. But every human being is offered peace through Jesus. What does it say in John 16:33? I've told you these things so that in me, maybe if you've got your Bible out, you want to highlight or underline that, in me. Jesus is not being unclear in this part. I love parts of the Bible that are not unclear. I like parts of the Bible that are black and white. Jesus says very clearly, if you want peace, it's found in me. Very clear. He says, in me, you can have peace. In this world, you're going to have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. He says, I have shown up that you may have peace. Let's move it into the biblical translation where they said, I've shown up so that you may be whole with God. Which kind of lines up if you know the New Testament. If you don't, that's okay. We talk about the Bible all the time. If you stay at Vertical Church long enough, we'll probably work through the whole Bible if the Lord allows me here, because that's what we're going to teach from. We're going to teach from the Bible. In the New Testament, it becomes very clear that Jesus shows up because the humanity is broken. We're sinful. Sin has entered our life and broken our union and harmony, is the word we've used a lot lately. It's broken that connection with God. Sin has entered, and that connection with God's broken, and Jesus shows up and goes, I want that to change. I don't want you to feel far away from God. I don't want you to feel disconnected. I want you to have an opportunity as a human that struggles with sin to become whole with God. And Jesus says, you can find that through me. You see, I think sometimes, whether situations happen or people say things or people do things or we just dislike ourselves, sometimes there's things that grow in us that make us think we shouldn't be whole with God. Maybe you've had things happen to you outside of your control and you don't think you should be whole with God because you feel broken on the inside because of some things that have been done to you. Or maybe if you take some ownership, you feel like maybe I've actually done things that I'm ashamed of, that I've made too many mistakes in life, and I don't feel like I deserve to be whole with God. And so we kind of push Jesus off to a distance. I'm not someone that deserves to be whole with God. And the interesting thing about it is technically no human deserves to be whole with God. We're all sinful, me and myself included. But Jesus shows up and goes, but that's not the question I'm asking. I'm not asking, do you deserve to be whole with God? Jesus shows up and asks, do you want to be whole with God? That's a whole different question because it means the opportunity is available to us. Every last human being has an opportunity to become whole with God, to have peace, to be reconciled, to use a word that we talked about a couple weeks ago. So right now in life, do you have peace? And if you don't have peace, I'm here to encourage you today that Jesus says in John 16:33, I've come that you may have peace. And not just peace as in like you can have peace at your next vacation, not peace that you can have when you get that next house or that next promotion or when your bank account hits a certain number, that you'll have peace when that happens. Jesus says, I give peace that can exist wholly even in the midst of trouble. Because a lot of times as humans, again, we define peace as the absence of trouble, right? I'm at peace as long as everything's going right, but that's not what Jesus says. I give peace that even when trouble's happening, you can have peace. So my question is, do you need to receive peace today? Whether you're in Hiawassee or online or in Morganton, would you say that your life has peace? And if you don't, it's okay. The beautiful thing about today is you can ask Jesus, I want to give my life to you so that I can have peace through you. He offers it to every human being. And so maybe today you walk in and you need to receive peace. But I want to tell you the honesty, according to the New Testament, we cannot have the blessing of peace without the submitting of life. We will not receive peace without the submitting of life. There is no such thing as receiving peace from Jesus without submitting to Jesus. We're going to talk about it as we continue to go through that today. There's no such thing as receiving peace from Jesus without submitting to Jesus in his ways. You see, peace comes from relying on Jesus and not ourselves. Peace comes from relying on Jesus and not ourselves. If maybe you're someone that struggles a little bit with control, I don't want to step on your toes too much, because if you are a controlling person, you will find me in the parking lot. You will be offended, and that's okay. As the people from Arkansas almost found out, I can handle myself. And so, peace, though, the ironic thing when we try to control it, the more we try to control, the less peace we actually have. It's this ironic thing of pulling on a string that actually you'll never, ever finally get to the end of. The more you try to control, the less peace you're going to have. You may trick yourself into a little bit if you feel like you can get all your boxes in a certain way and all of your things in life checked out. You may feel like you finally got a little peace, but what happens when trouble shows up, like Jesus says, it's going to, and the boxes start to collapse a little bit? You begin to lose it because your idea of peace was elusive and untrue. It was at best a mirage. You see, peace doesn't come from control. It's this upside down kingdom of God that we talked about. It's things that don't make sense a lot of times. He says peace comes from giving up control and giving it to Jesus. What? But that's what Jesus says. How do we get peace? John 16:33, through Jesus. Nowhere in that verse does it ever say trying to take as much control as possible. He says, in me. And so Jesus says, in me you'll have peace. And so if you want to receive peace, it is not through controlling more of your life. It's actually submitting your life, submitting yourself to Jesus in his ways. And so maybe you've walked in today and you look around and you realize, I need peace. But the hard thing that you're going to have to wrestle with is, if you need peace, are you willing to give up control to Jesus? That's the tension that's really going to boil down to me, that is going to be tough for a lot of us, is if we want peace through Jesus, peace that can go through any trouble, peace that can go through any circumstance, peace that is so much bigger than a vacation to the beach, we have to submit. And that's where, as humans, we don't always like that, if we're honest. Maybe you do. I'm going to be honest, I struggle with that at times. But here's the thing also, that when we try to control things, it's sometimes because we look to find our purpose from the things around us. We look around at our job or our friendships or our spouse or our kids or whatever it is, and we try to find purpose in these things. But see, if you look at the Bible, God says, I've created all of those things for you to have enjoyment, but not purpose. Enjoyment but not purpose. Those are two different things. God wants you to enjoy the things he's created, but he wants you to find your purpose in him. And so when we look to go find our peace, sometimes we get it backwards and we look to find our peace in the things he's created rather than the creator. And so if you walked in today, if you're struggling with peace, the basic question you've got to wrestle and ask yourself with, am I willing to submit to Jesus? If you want to receive biblical peace, it boils down to that one question. I've done a lot of talking, but it's one question. Do you want to submit to Jesus? And if the answer is no, that's okay. That's okay. That's your choice, but you will not receive the biblical blessing of peace. The biblical blessing of peace that Jesus offers comes strictly through submitting to him. But maybe you've walked in and you go, Philip, that's nice. I'm glad you talked about that. But I have given my life to Jesus, and I'm still struggling with peace. Well, let's move on to the second category, because we've got three. Praise the Lord. And so the second one is we can grow peace. We can grow peace. And some of you may know where I'm going because I talk about this Bible verse all the time because I think it's a really big deal. It's Galatians 5:22. Galatians 5:22 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So here's what happens. If you submit your life to Jesus, if you give your life to Jesus, according to 2 Corinthians 1, Holy Spirit is sent into your life. Holy Spirit is sent into your life. And if you want some Bible reading for this week, I'd write down John 14 through 16. I've encouraged you guys on several occasions to go read these chapters. I think they're a huge deal because Jesus explains so much about following him in these three chapters, John 14 through 16. Okay, but when 2 Corinthians 1 says, when you give your life to Jesus, that Holy Spirit's deposited into your soul. Holy Spirit's deposited into your soul. And Galatians 5:22 tells us that not only is Holy Spirit deposited inside of you, but then things can grow spiritually in your life. Things begin to change on the inside of you. And see, we think that when Holy Spirit's deposited, according to the human definition of peace, that things will be without trouble. But that doesn't line up with what Jesus said in John 16, right? And who actually sends Holy Spirit? If you remember in Acts 1, he says, don't leave Jerusalem because I'm going to send you Holy Spirit. Jesus is the one who sends us Holy Spirit. And so he sends Holy Spirit that we can have peace. But what was Jesus' definition of peace? Being whole or one with God. So Holy Spirit helps you have a connection with the Lord. It's also interesting that Jesus tells us Holy Spirit actually doesn't speak on his own. Holy Spirit only ever says what? What he hears the Father say. Holy Spirit's never going to tell you anything that Holy Spirit has not heard the Lord say. It's this wonderful game-changing connection you have with the throne room of heaven. The King of heaven wants to speak into your life, and he's going to do it through Holy Spirit. And so when we look at our life, if we've submitted to Jesus, Jesus says, that's fantastic. Now I want your life to look more like my life. And in order for that to happen, I'm going to send you Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit inside of you is going to grow things like joy, like peace, but peace is according to wholeness with me. And see, I think this is where it trips up some people who've submitted to Jesus because we want to be forgiven of our sins. We want peace like relaxation at the beach, but we don't want to maybe stay as submitted to Jesus as we originally intended, right? Some of the temptations is to drift a little bit, and I've given my life to Jesus, but without actually saying it out loud, I'd like a little bit of it back. If we're honest as humans, we have a temptation to do that. Jesus, I give you my whole life, and as we get going a little bit, we go, I'd actually like a little bit of it back if I'm honest with you, Jesus. I'd like a little bit of my life back. I'd like a little bit of control. I'd like to call my own shots. I'd like enough of my life back where you're still kind of in control and you'll take care of anything that's on fire, but I gotta get to handle everything else. I want enough control where I can do what I want to do as long as you'll have my back when I get into trouble. If we're honest, we would never say that out loud, of course. And I'm not saying you would say that. Maybe I would just say that. But as humans, that's our temptation. But Jesus says, if you want these things to grow in your life, you have to be submitted. And so I'd ask, okay, if you've given your life to Jesus, but you're not seeing things like peace, wholeness with God, if you're not seeing joy coming forth, I would ask, have you stayed submitted to Jesus? Or somewhere along the line, slowly over time, have you begin to drift a little bit and you've begin to try to take more control back from Jesus and more control back from Jesus. And you go, actually, I kind of know what I'm doing. And so I'm going to call the shots. And Jesus, if something goes wrong, I'll call upstairs. It's kind of like, you know, you ever, and you people would never do this. You ever walk in a store and go, I need to speak to the manager. None of you would ever do that. And if you do, please never be doing it while you wear any vertical merchandise. And so, but that's kind of what we are. We want control of our life. And then something, when something goes wrong, we kind of go, I want to speak to the manager. Jesus, will you come and take care of this? I don't know how this happened. I don't know how my marriage is on fire. I don't know why my friends dislike me. I don't know why this job's not working out. They're like, Jesus, can you come fix this? Can the manager please show up? And it kind of deflects any responsibility. And Jesus looks and goes, that's your mess. I love you, and I'm here to make sure you become whole with me. But sometimes we create our own mess and just expect Jesus to come fix it. And Jesus loves us, and he cares about us, and he will work through all of our brokenness and all of our mistakes. But that's not the life he designed for us. When he said, you can have peace in me, it's when we stay continually submitted. Because he wants us to be whole with him. He wants our life to look like his life. He wants us to think like Jesus. He wants us to respond like Jesus. The Lord is looking for us to become a mirror image of Christ. And so maybe we need to check and see, is peace growing in my life? Is peace growing? Am I becoming more and more whole with God? Is my life looking more and more like Jesus or not? And see, the beautiful thing is Jesus came in John 16, 33 and says, I've come that you may have it. Do you understand that he came from heaven because he loves you so much that he wants you to have that? It would have been one thing for him to sit up in heaven and go, man, I really hope those humans can figure out how to become whole with God, but I'm certainly not going to go do anything about it. Jesus shows up because he cares about you and me so much that he wants us to become whole with God. I mean, the sacrifice he went through because he truly meant it when he says, I want you to have peace. He wants you to have peace. He doesn't want to withhold it. He doesn't want to keep it away. He wants to give it to you and to me. So is peace growing in our life? And if it's not, we've got to ask ourselves, maybe am I not fully submitted to the ways of Jesus? Am I not fully submitted to the ways of Jesus? Am I lacking peace? Am I lacking wholeness with God? And we talked about this a little bit. But I think I've tried to boil it down into a way that you can write down that we can talk about later. The way to kind of look at this is, are we trying to get Jesus to live in harmony with us? Or are we trying to live in harmony with Jesus? Are we trying to get Jesus to live in harmony with us? Or are we trying to live in harmony with Jesus? And that sounds so similar. Like if I say it fast enough, you're like, I think option A and B are the same thing. Like, I think those are the same things, and I'm here to tell you, according to the New Testament, those are not the same things. Those are not the same things. Trying to get Jesus to live in harmony with us is another way of saying, Jesus, I'd like for you to submit to me. That's not why Jesus showed up. Jesus showed up offering that if you submit to me, I will bring peace and wholeness with God into your life. And so if you're not seeing peace and love and other fruits of the Spirit grow in your life, you have to ask yourself, have I maybe been trying to get Jesus to live in harmony with me rather than give my life to live in harmony with Jesus? Am I trying to become whole with Jesus, or am I trying to make Jesus kind of mold in to be more like me? You got to be willing to ask that question. If you want to see fruits of the Spirit grow, you've got to be willing to ask honest questions. And here's the beautiful thing. If you're a Christian, if you submitted your life to Jesus and give it to him, he sent you Holy Spirit, you can ask Holy Spirit. You can ask Holy Spirit and go, Holy Spirit, is there any area of my life that I'm not submitting to Jesus right now? Will you please reveal that to me? Will you please show me that? Holy Spirit, will you please help me be more like Jesus? Because that's why Holy Spirit was sent, so that we can be everything that Jesus has made us to be and is calling us to be. So the first thing we've got to figure out, am I even submitted to Jesus? Do I need to receive peace today? The second thing is, do I need to grow peace? Have I maybe not been submitted to Jesus the way I should over time? The third thing, and this one may throw you off a little bit, the last thing that humans can do if they're doing first step, second step, the third step is give peace. Give peace. And that may be an interesting thing for you to hear. Maybe you never thought that you can be someone who gives peace. But it's interesting. If you go through the New Testament, you read a lot of the beginning of the letters. Go read the beginning of the letter. Go read the end of the letter. What are a lot of the authors of that, one of the things they offer people? Peace. I'm going to quote a verse that I don't think many of us have heard in any sermons because, I don't know, but I'm going to throw it out there for us. It's Jude chapter 1. And go tell your friends at other churches. We talked about Jude chapter 1 today. Take some of that, you know. Jude chapter 1 says, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus. Look at verse 2. Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Jude writes this letter, and in his letter looks to bless people with peace. With love, may they be abundance in yours. And see, here's the thing, especially if we remember what 2 Corinthians, if you were here a couple weeks ago, if not, you missed the message, okay, you can go look at it. One of the things that Jesus wants to do in our life is he wants us to be ambassadors. He wants to work in and through us on the missions of reconciliation. And so when Jude says, may mercy and peace and love be in abundance, when he's offering it, he's not offering something out of his flesh. I want you to understand that. It's not that you and I have the ability and our own strength to bring peace to this world, but if we submitted to Jesus and Jesus has sent us Holy Spirit, why does Holy Spirit not have the ability to offer peace to those around us? You see, as we become more submitted to Jesus and more whole with Jesus, why would he not have the ability to work in and through us to bring peace to the world around us? Is that not what he told us he wants to do in 2 Corinthians 5, to work in and through us, to affect the world around us? When you walk into work or when you come home to your family or you're going to hang out with your friends, when's the last time you ever thought, I have the opportunity to bless these people with peace? Not peace according to the world, but peace where they have an opportunity to be encouraged to become whole with Jesus. You and I exist in this moment, in time, to help people become whole with Jesus. We look around the world, and it's easy to see that there's not a lot of peace. There is anxiety, that people are looking for something. And when they look at Christians, they should see fruits of the Spirit. When we show up into a room, when we show up to a workplace, show up to our family gatherings, we should be people who can offer peace through Jesus. When we walk into places, things should change by the power of Holy Spirit in and through us. Not by our own strength, not by our own flesh, not because we're something important, but it's when we become submitted that things change. Because the Lord wants to use us to bring reconciliation in this world, to tell people about Jesus. And see, that's the thing is we talk a lot about, you know, we need to give our life to Jesus, we need to grow in Jesus, but sometimes we've lost the responsibility that the Lord wants to work in and through us to bring about wholeness with him. He wants to work in and through your life. He wants to work in and through my life. You have a great responsibility and opportunity to help bring peace to the world through Holy Spirit. And so right now, as the worship team can come on back up because I'm almost done, I want us to have an honest moment before we head back into the week and before you go have lunch and you go hang out with friends, or maybe you're going to do what I'm going to do, you're going to watch some European soccer today. Anybody European soccer fans? Praise the Lord. There, Jesse, let's go. Okay, there's one person here who's going to hang out with the pastor and watch some European soccer today. But before we go do that, before we move on, Can we just have an honest moment before the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, do I need to give my life to you? Do I need to actually submit to you, Jesus, for the first time? Or maybe do you need to finally go, Jesus, if I'm honest with you, I've tried to take control back in some of the areas of my life, and I realize I need to submit to you. I need to submit to you so that Holy Spirit can bring about that wholeness with God, that connection, that oneness with God that I've been lacking. I've not been having that peace in my life that I really crave, if I'm honest. Or maybe do you realize I've seen some of that grow in my life, and it's time that I give it, that I offer, that remember what we say at Vertical Church a lot, life has to be bigger than us. If Jesus is doing something in our life, we cannot keep it to ourselves. If we do, that's incredibly selfish. And Jesus doesn't want us to keep it to ourselves. He says, if I've done something in your life, offer it to someone else. Go to someone else and offer Jesus. I can't change someone's life. I'm the pastor of this church, and I promise you, I, in my own strength, can do nothing to save you. Nothing. But I can offer you an opportunity to become whole with Jesus through him. Jesus says in John 16:33, in me. And we have that opportunity to go offer peace to people, not the way that the world thinks of peace, not relaxation on the beach, not hiking in the North Georgia mountains, not sipping coffee and staring at the stars. It's peace in the sense of becoming whole with God. And that's what this world desperately needs, is the opportunity to be shown that Jesus is who he says he is, that he can change any life, that he loves us and cares about us enough to want us to become whole with God. And see, he wants to work through you. It's not just me, not just our worship team, not just our staff, not just our volunteers. He wants to work through every last person who will submit to him. And that opportunity is before you to change the world around you through Jesus. Your life is not insignificant. You have the opportunity to see the world change around you as you serve Jesus. So as we close out, maybe today's the day you submit and give your life to Jesus for the first time and say, Jesus, I want peace. Or maybe today's the day you realize I need to submit more to Jesus. I've not been really giving a lot of my life to him. I want to see Holy Spirit grow fruits of the Spirit in my life, including wholeness with God. Or maybe you realize that now it's time for me to go, for life to be bigger than me, and to offer people around me the opportunity through Jesus to become whole with God. I want to be someone who offers peace to the world through Jesus. So Holy Spirit, we give you this time. We give you this time to speak into our life, to make us more like Jesus. We want to submit. I pray that we'll be people who are marked by obedience. Holy Spirit, come, convict us of anything that's holding us back from being everything that Jesus has made us and called us to be, but also pour out your love and your mercy and grace, because we are people who make mistakes. We fall short of the glory of God. Won't you please forgive us and then use us? We ask for your peace to fall upon us, to be birthed inside of us, that we can become whole with you, God. Holy Spirit, move in this time. May we be people who submit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.